Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, The Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
All right, so let's hold a little bit on the recap, or at least the full recap, and just start with two of our players. Anthony, you are holding up Roger, who is badly injured. You have emerged outside the back. Did you go out the back or the front door, you think?
Whichever is probably closer to where I need to go, like where I park the car.
Your car is in the front part of the house.
Okay, I'll probably still aim to go, actually, though, from the back, because I don't know if there's any other people around, or if he was by himself, or if there was anyone else in the house.
That's fine. All right, so you emerge in the back door. There are cats everywhere outside. And one of them starts speaking to you and says, "Give me the eye." Let me do a little bit of description of what's going on here. So the cat that spoke to you is clearly speaking to you in a voice that Roger recognizes, that you do not, as Mrs. Lewis. Mm-hmm. Most of the cats around here are of the common type that you would see roaming around a suburban area or near suburban area of London. But there are, and these cats are sort of almost pouring out of the shadows. There are cats that are coming out that are colored. They have bright hues around them, and they're kaleidoscopic patterns of energy sort of pulsing off of them, and there's a crackling noise as you look at them. Let me drop a picture for you in the notes. Roger, you get the sense that maybe these might have been the ones you saw off in the backside of the garden when you first were at Mrs. Lewis's house.
Sure.
They each look at you. Their eyes are like little tiny stars with shifting colors in their eyes. And they're just looking at you with this intelligence that's somewhat disconcerting. In fact, it's a sanity roll level of disconcerting.
There we go.
It's a zero if you succeed. It's perhaps not that disconcerting. It's a 1d3 if you fail.
I rolled a 0.7, so it's not that disconcerting.
No, compared to the other things you've seen today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the cats are clearly looking at you, and if you've ever seen a cat sort of getting ready to pounce on a bird or a small rodent or something, you get the sense that the mass of cats back here are preparing to pounce.
But it was definitely Mrs. Lewis's voice that was
yes,
speaking.
Okay. Definitely her voice speaking.
It is Mrs. Lewis. She wants the stone back.
Could I get a party luck roll here?
The original thief. I'm at 33.
Yeah, strangely,
I'm at 34.
It's very close, but Jim is slightly low.
No, failure.
Okay.
All I want to do is get my friend to see a doctor. I don't have that. Oh, do I have it? Ooh, did I?
You do. You picked it up.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
I was going to say fast talk roll, but then the player forgot that they had it. So, yes.
Yep. No, I had forgotten that I had grabbed it. Do you want me to bring it to you after I get him to a doctor?
Give it to me now, and you can leave.
I will pull it out and chuck it towards the cats.
There's a swarming of cats all around the stone where it lands. The cat that spoke to you nods its head at you as if dismissing you.
Well, I will drag Roger out to the car, hoping that the cats just ignore me.
There are cats outside in the front, too. They form a line for you to walk through. You know, there's cats on either side of you. As you're walking, you make it to the car, able to get Roger into your car, drive away.
Yep. Our first stop will be getting him some medical assistance.
Okay. that sounds fine. Roger, do you make it to a hospital? They're deeply concerned about your wounds, but I think it's a D4, right? At the hospital?
Medicine? D3.
Yeah. Okay, D3 then. So go ahead and roll yourself some hit points, and
perhaps he could have taken me to a better hospital.
Perhaps you could have lied and said D4.
One point is going to double my hit points.
You know what? Give yourself another point for your honesty in the game.
Oh, 3 hit points.
I know. My generosity overwhelms you, I'm sure. And they basically discharge you. They give you some medicines and there's brief talk about a police report. I assume you lie about what happened. Maybe not.
I'm not even sure what happened. So,
that's fine. Then they diagnose you as being, you know,
I was trauma. Yes. Yeah. Some fellow in Croydon beat me up. My friend here came in there, shot me or whatever it was. I don't even remember now. And my friend just came and found me. That's my story.
Okay. You are able to make it home. Anthony, are you going to stay with Roger for the night? Are you going to...
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Roger. Yeah. I'll probably, you know, sleep in the chair or something like that, but I'll stay with Roger.
Okay. Roger, that night, you have a dream. You are once again in Mrs. Lewis's sitting room. She is offering you tea and biscuits. She said, "I'm so horribly sad about what happened to you. Oh, that dreadful man.
Yes, thank you. Well, what do you intend to do with the stone now that you have it back?
Well, I was going to get revenge on Mr. Church, but apparently that's been taken care of. I feel like now my cats will be listed as they should be. Very excited about that. London Abyssians will be a recognized breed thanks to you and your friend.
Well, as long as it's something important, yes.
Well, and of course I'll continue my work to bring Bass to this world.
Undoubtedly.
Your help has been so lovely. Are you sure I can't convince you to become one of her disciples?
Oh, no, I think I must pass.
Well, that is a loss for our group, but don't you worry. When she is here and back in our world, I will make sure that you are kept in special circumstances. Well, thank you. You are aware of the rather sticky end that has come to most everyone else who has held artifacts from that place. Oh, no. Really? Oh. Well, do they have the protection of a goddess behind them?
I have not had the opportunity to have such conversations with them, so I cannot.
Oh, well, come with me then. And it's weird. You're in a dream that should take time, but it doesn't, before you realize, like, oh, we walked up the stairs. And you're in her attic. Stairs leading up to her attic, and she opens up the door, and inside there's a statue of a feline humanoid. A little altar in front of it. It's really, really quite tastefully done. She says, yes, this is where I worship Bast and bring her to the world. I don't know why you wouldn't want to join us.
And you are quite certain that, you're confident that Bast will be able to protect you from looking, scrolling, trying to find the name. Come on, you know what I'm talking about here.
I don't actually. I wish I did.
Protect you. Who's the god that's in the scrolls and stuff? Who's going to come?
Oh, Naboo?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No.
I thought there was another name that we were supposed to call on for in the scroll ceremony.
Yeah, Poochian scroll. Yeah, no, I'm not worried about them. Bast is has her own way about things. Yes, take a look, and she leads you to the window of her attic, and you look outside, and I mean, you know where her house is. You know there are little residential houses nearby. It's a fairly compact neighborhood. Cute little houses. But as you look outside, all of those houses seem to have been replaced with wooden houses. Really nothing more than hovels with large, overgrown gardens. And there are cats prowling around in the shadows, but the cats are varying sizes. I mean, they all look like domestic cats, but some of them look to be domestic cats as large as lions. Could I get a sanity roll?
No, this is all just a dream. I see no reason to fail a sanity roll again like that.
Oh, you've no reason to roll a d6?
Oh, okay. That's good. Oh, six. That's awesome.
Perfect. She says, yes, don't worry. This, what you see here, these cats here, this will soon be our whole world. Thanks to you. She smiles at you, and you feel yourself sort of slipping back, and you sort of start in your bed.
Oh, I fear Mr. Kelly has made a mistake. Mr. Kelly, you're still here.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure that you were okay.
Roger. Thank you. I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I believe the activity with Mrs. Lewis is not over. Going to have to retrieve the stone from her, I am afraid.
I had a feeling that would probably happen, but at the time, I thought it was more prudent to get you to a doctor than try to battle all those cats.
Perfectly sensible, perfectly sensible. I'm not certain I could have been of much assistance.
And let's have night pass for the two of you. Are you headed to the club in the morning?
Perhaps a little later than usual.
I'll probably go home and change and then meet them up at the club. I mean, I have to be invited, so.
Fair enough. Yes, so we will have the meeting at the club, and perhaps this would be a good point to for the two of you to provide a summary of what has been going on. That while you're providing it, I will type it into the notes. So, jumping in as needed, of course. It looks like. At this point, Maud is the only one at the table, so you'll have to tell her. Let's assume
Roger. He looks terrible. Mr. Kelly.
Is Throckmorton.
Where's Mr. Hemsworth?
Mr. Hemsworth did not make it, I am afraid.
What? Could you be a tad more explicit?
Yes. We went to. I don't believe you know Mr. Church. He was a, you know, of course, Mrs. Lewis, the connection through the artist Mr. Wayne.
The cat fancier.
Yes, the cat fancier. Just so. Her nemesis in the cat fancier world, Mr. Church, had apparently taken the Eye of Lamashtu from her. And had been using it for some nefarious purposes. So, of course, Mr. Hemsworth and I went to retrieve it from Mr. Church. Unfortunately, there was some difficulty in doing so. Mr. Church had some of those shadow creatures that I believe you had encountered before.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Sorry, just a little recon here. No, they were humanoid lion creatures. They were men bodies with lion heads. They were
I totally interpreted that as the same shadow thing. Okay.
Yep.
Never mind. I grow confused from my injuries. but yes, they killed poor Mr. Hemsworth. Very nearly did me as well, but apparently Mr. Church wanted something more from me, I guess. Until Mr. Kelly here showed up in the nick of time, I believe is how the kids say it. He killed Mr. Church, recovered the Eye of Lamashtu, but then in leaving, were accosted by some house cats. Mr. Kelly chose to give up the Eye of Lamashtu to the house cats. Quite certain have returned it to Mrs. Lewis. Unfortunately, Mrs. Lewis is quite convinced that she is going to use it to bring back her own ancient god and transform the world. So I believe I must still be retrieved from Mrs. Lewis somehow.
Well,
perhaps Mr. Nichols will have some ideas on that front, game hunting and all that.
Oh, yes. Surely he's probably hunted lions, but he doesn't seem to be here. Actually, we have we've been invited to a party this evening. So I guess I'm wondering, is time of the essence in dealing with the cat lady?
Well, I'm sure that time can be taken for frivolity and merriment. Why not?
Well, I don't know how close she is to, I mean, all of it. I mean, it's hard to discern what is the most pressing with this horn and, you know, Mr. Delgado and,
I believe that Mrs. Lewis can wait for a day or two. I would feel comfortable in setting her aside for a time.
Do you think your friend from the asylum could be of some assistance?
Mr. Wayne?
Yes. She obviously trusts him, and he's seen what happened to his roommate there. All the goings on.
It is certainly true that Mr. Wayne does not trust the cats at the moment, but he does trust Mrs. Lewis.
Could you, Roger, give me an idea roll?
And I got that completely wrong.
No.
No, I cannot. I failed my idea.
Okay, carry on.
Well, we do have this party. I'm not exactly sure. You know, Delgado from the club here has having some occult party this evening. He wants the horn. He says he will disarm it. I don't know that I trust them. And of course, you know, our friends, so many people, so many different threads.
So I do apologize. What is the purpose of this party?
Well, Mr. Delgado, who had bid against us on the horn, although I don't think he bid himself. It was his little toady.
Otis.
Yes, Otis Mortimer. Odie Mortimer, that's it.
Odie.
Bid on it for him, and he claims that he's going to disarm it, but I don't know that I trust anybody outside our circle anymore.
And so what is the purpose of the party?
To
give him the horn? The horn is safe in the vaults at the moment, yes?
Yes, it is at a bank. No, I do not intend to give it to him. I think perhaps he's trying to convince us, but, you know, with the goings on, he might just kidnap us and sacrifice us to cats or shadows or shadow cats.
Well, if your mind is already made up on the subject, then why attend a party where he will attempt to convince you?
Well, we could use some more backup. I don't know. Mr. Kelly, what's your take on all of this?
I have no idea. I think I'm way over my head. You know, I came here to help you guys find out who killed your friend. Now I've got cats threatening me.
Yes, and we really don't know about these Frenchmen.
The guy who's the leader of the gang.
Right. Remember? Who we think actually killed our friend.
Well, he's the gang. Yeah. Yeah. The gang members killed your other friend. Yes. He was going to, turn the person who did it over to the cops.
I would also remind you not to further complicate things, but if you guys are going to go through two chapters at the same same time, though, then fine. You also were invited to swing by the museum if you wanted.
That's true. Let's go there. I think that that might be a good idea.
Oh, look, Mr. Oswald has arrived.
Oh, Oswald. Yay. Yeah,
sure. Physically, maybe. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank Rachel. You.
Thank you.
Oh. And to all the other mothers of the people gaming on this call, of course. Yeah, I'm down for whatever. You point me, I'll shoot whoever needs to be shot.
Funny well... you should mention.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. I'm afraid Mr. Hemsworth has died.
Well, you said to the museum.
So. Yes, let's go to the museum. I was just trying to look backwards into the past a little bit.
No problem. You are clearly able to make it to the museum. He says, scurrying to find that page, because that's not where he thought you were going to go. So there is clearly activity going on as you arrive. There's security guards, there's police officers wandering around. They're talking to museum staff. Museum staff are sort of moving back and forth. Yes.
I look for a friendly face, a face that I know.
There's the woman at the sort of front information desk. You've met her a couple times. People have let you in. She's the one who sort of contacted people. Yes.
Oh, Louisa, what is going on?
Oh, we had a terrible tragedy here last night. A terrible tragedy. Yes. We're missing a staff person and another staff person. Well, I don't know if I should go into it or not. You need to talk to someone higher up than me to learn more about it. Are you here to see the temple?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's coming along nicely.
It doesn't have to do with the temple, does it?
Oh yes, it's an authentic recreation.
I just look at her dumbfounded, like that's the stupidest thing I've heard to be done.
You might recall, you those of you who read Roger Thompson's sort of information, that he did at one point suggest as revenge for what had happened during the expedition, that he would, you know, cause all of, you know, take the temple stone by stone away from them. Maybe that's why Jonathan stopped showing up. A certain amount of British pride or something. I don't know. It's right over in the hallway C area. Just over there. If you want to go take a look.
Yes. Yes. Do I recognize any of the police? Is there anybody I can get inside?
These all seem to be sort of out here in the hallway, sort of wandering around, appear to be, you know, bobbies and whatnot.
Okay.
You know, not you've been dealing with detectives. These are people sort of wandering from person to person, taking notes, asking questions and the like. You know, the the gatherers of information rather than the piecing together what happened folk.
Okay. Shall we look at this gentleman? That's a yes.
Yeah, it seems like a very bad idea if they're rebuilding the temple.
Sorry, I muted myself. If you want to head over to the West Wing, which is, you've been there before. They showed some exhibits, some of the things they had before. You might recall way back in the day that there was a large dropping, hanging coming off the ceiling in one part of the wing. And it looks like what they were doing there is, you know, you're sort of pointed by a person there. It looks like they are putting together piece by piece the temple.
Well, that won't end badly.
There's a little information thing next to it about how they brought over the materials and you know, description of how they had to reinforce the floor for to handle the weight of it all. And you know, when it opens up, they're going to have, you know, many of the treasures that were in the temple when it was first found available. And they're sort of working, overseeing the work is Patrick Longton.
Mr. Longton, how amazing this installation is.
Oh, it is. It's a crowning achievement. I think that all those people that, well, you know the British society is right now just filled with people who are all interested in all things of this sort. It's just, it's really going to be quite the exhibit. We're expecting it to get a lot of good press, and I think it could really, you know, be a hallmark of my career, if you would. I've just been working on the script that's carved above the doorway.
Do tell.
Oh, yeah, but the script carved above the door.
Well, it's written in Caliform, but he says, "Here is the house of he who has called, wisest of the gods, where he slumbers. His heavenly servants watch over his rests, so that the destiny of men can be assured." It's just lovely.
It is very elegant, very elegant. And these are the original stones.
Indeed, indeed. We spared no expense to bring them over.
Yeah. And that saying over the door doesn't bother you a little bit?
Oh, no. Why would it bother me?
Well, you know, the safety of humanity and all that.
Oh, yes. I mean, yes, yes, yes. But they're just...
It's just words, right? Words never
just
mean
words.
Anything.
Exactly.
Louise at the front desk was just saying there had been some mishap.
Oh, yes, yes. We had a very unusual thing happen last night. We have a young woman who volunteers at the museum. She was bringing some scrolls down to the vaults when she just didn't come back. And we sent down one of our porters, Edward Twin, and then we heard him scream. And so some of the staff members went. They didn't find any sign of the young woman, but they found Twin there. He was lying on the floor, stammering. I've seen it over and over again, but his eyes were gouged out. It's a poor man. It's the doctors say he did it himself. It seems that all the strange displays and all the ghost stories, I think they must have gotten into his mind. Yeah, actually had him committed to Bethlehem. The police are relatively sure that he's responsible in some way for poor Clara's disappearance.
Clara...
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be something so silly as, like, a curse or anything.
Exactly so. I mean, obviously, that it sort of worked its way into this man's mind. Clara Winstanley. I mean, certainly people have been talking about these ghostly disturbances, but it's just an old building. You know, things bump and bang. And it's just the way these old buildings work.
Were the scrolls that Miss Stanley was taking downstairs found, or did they also disappear? Could those have been the goal?
No. The scrolls were where they were supposed to be.
Huh. Oh, dear.
Well, I hope you'll be my guest when the exhibit opens in a month from now.
Oh,
and when? I'm hoping we'll be able to have the horn there. You might be done with whatever it is you're doing with it by then, perhaps.
Oh, well, maybe definitely.
A pre-tour is in order.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you have time, I mean, we'd love to see how the progress is coming along.
Oh, of course.
I look at him expectantly.
Yeah, no, he will definitely sort of lead you inside. Again, they've taken up museums are, you know, by nature limited space. There's sort of you've got to decide what you're going to put in there, what's going to get you the most interest from the public. It's almost a game of sort of figuring out what will people be interested in seeing and how do I maximize the limited space I have. They have taken up quite a lot of space with this temple. I mean, and when you were going through Roger Thompson's book, he had sort of measurements and things. As far as you can tell, just sort of walking through, this seems to be an accurate reproduction of at least sort of the initial temple area. And he will excitedly point out, well, you know, we're going to put, there's little spaces where they're going to put in different things. But they're not there now, but there's sort of the little play cards to tell you what this was and that sort of thing are all ready to go as they're finalizing this. People sort of working on last minute etchings and things. You can tell they're looking at books and trying to reproduce the script that was on the wall of the original temple here.
You said the exhibit opens in a month. When do you expect to have the temple itself completed?
Oh, well, we'll have it done. Well, probably next couple of weeks or so. I mean, it looks like it's about ready, but remember, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get people through here. There'll be publicity shots, you know, there'll be things we have to do before we can open up to the public.
Well, of course.
A couple of weeks, though, it should be ready to go. Again, I don't think, given some of the situations we've had here, I don't think we'll be bringing up any of the artifacts until just before we're ready to go. But the temple itself will be fully... It's a full replica in the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
Simply amazing. What you can do when you guys put your mind to it.
Oh, yes. We're very proud of this. We think this is really going to put the museum on the map.
And we will certainly speak to Dame Agatha about the horn.
Oh, is she the one who has it these days? I had no idea.
Well, she definitely has been holding on to it, but, you know.
That's fine. No. I understand you have a process. I appreciate that you were willing to even give it to us in the first place. I don't. Sorry if I appeared to be prying. I just obviously
quite a
feather in our cap to have it.
For the publicity shots for the papers, of course.
Yeah.
Are you trying to put the artifacts where they were found in the temple, or is this more of a narrative story that you're recreating here?
To the extent that we can put them where they were found, we will. But, we can't expect to have everything exactly where it should be, of course.
Oh, no. I was just wondering about where the horn was found and if there was anything written. Are there references to the horn here in the walls?
There are some, I mean, it's clearly had a place. It was right. And he sort of points back to sort of the entranceway. It was right near the entranceway, actually.
Right where it said, you know, that he was sleeping and guarded and.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. And we've been, you know, trying to find more information about it. Obviously, it'd be easier to do if we had it, but you have your process. I understand. Again, we're just thankful you're willing to give it to us when you're done with whatever research you're doing.
Well, you've been so supportive of our own research. How could we forget you?
Ah, that's very nice of you.
Well, wouldn't want to keep you. I look at the gentleman with bug eyes.
is that all? I do need to get back to work.
We'll just look around a little bit and then probably get out of your way. You're busy working, I see. Yes.
Can you all give me spot hidden rolls?
I certainly hope so. Yes.
Zero, nine.
Oh, you did better than I did. Still a hobby.
They are, as you're looking around, sorry, Gary or Jim, did you have anything? No.
It was the spot hidden, was it?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I rolled 20, so that should be a success even on base, okay. I think.
Just baseline success, yeah. So that's fine. This kind of makes sense. Roger, you're still a little bit hurt. You're not entirely sure why you're out and about. Maybe even, you know, every time you take a step, it hurts more than it normally does.
Oh, yes.
So you're somewhat distracted by that. The rest of you notice, and in particular, Mr. Nichols, with his instincts of a hunter, notices that there are three men who are clearly Middle Eastern in complexity, skin complexity, sort of looking at you, and they're staring at you.
Well, that's just great. I'm not going to make eye contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will make note of their appearance for later.
Okay.
I wonder if maybe we could get access to a list of the workers.
They're not workers. They look to be, you know, visitors to the museum, And that may have been what sort of drew your attention to them. Is it normally when someone goes to a museum, they pay attention and look at exhibits and whatnot? These three have clearly positioned themselves sort of right out, you know, in a straight line from the entrance to this temple. So they can see you at all times, and they're not moving around going from, oh, look at this piece of art and look at this piece of art. They're definitely just watching you.
Great. Great.
And you don't think we should confront them?
Oh, I was very much thinking we should confront them. I do want to rack a round into my pistol before we do that, though, just in case. I guess I'll, look around or go behind the corner or whatever, get out of view, check my pistol.
Not a problem. Yep, absolutely not a problem.
Have it ready, and then I'll go back and say, well, Maud, fire away.
And march I do.
Oh, are you going over and directly confronting them?
Oh, yes.
I will support.
And I think I'll come along as well. Support with my hand in my pocket on my gun.
And I'll stay here.
Good call, Robert. You be lookout.
I'll have a seat on a bench.
Gentlemen. You
glare at them menacingly.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah. More like
watch your friends disappear.
a pocket sandwich and start having a snack.
Yes, and while we all go and confront that guy, the five other people suddenly rush in and grab Roger and pull him away.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, but it's great when the players write the story for me, so I'm going to go with that.
anyway. Gentlemen!
You know, I have to say, you know, I don't know if you knew it, Gary, but giving the eye up was pretty much the only way you were you might have got out, but Roger was not going to get out if those cats attack. The description in the book of the cats swarming is quite terrifying. So
I just thought, okay, well, first of all, cats are talking to me in English.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, whatever, I'm going to toss this away so I can get this guy to the hospital.
So you walk up, the three of you walk up to him, to them, sorry, the three of them. And you confront them with gentlemen, and one of them says, are you a Mrs. or a Ms.?
Mrs.
Mrs. Throckmorton?
Yes.
A pleasant day to you.
Pleasant day to you. To whom may I have the pleasure of speaking?
I don't think we need to have names be passed around, do we?
But you know my name. That's just poor breeding to not share.
Yes. Well, quite rude.
I guess you'll have to accuse me of not supplementing myself to your English sensibilities.
Oh. Well, why don't you enlighten us with your Eastern sensibilities?
When someone steals something from you, you can get it back again.
I have stolen nothing.
Oh, but you have stolen goods.
I have stolen goods?
Indeed. You have the horn. It was stolen.
We purchased it.
You purchased stolen goods. Of course, even in your country, that's illegal. They were stolen from our country. We want them back. It's very simple.
I am not... I am sympathetic to that. And I am... indeed. And I turn and I point at the museum, at the temple being reconstructed, and said, this is a travesty.
Indeed, it is what you have, but on a much larger scale.
We should work on undoing this.
Indeed. We would like nothing better than to take the artifacts that were stolen and bring them back to our country again. Perhaps you can start the process by giving us what you have.
Perhaps I could if I knew who I was working with.
You have met our leader multiple times now. You were just in a meeting with him yesterday.
Aha!
Sorry, to be clear, you have met one of our leaders. He is not our leader. He is someone who's trying to work with you. He still trusts you. There are others who do not, who are growing tired of waiting.
Well,
you know, we're getting pretty tired of all the killing.
Well, indeed.
What if we told you where one of the other artifacts is located?
How would that... I mean, why not just give us the one we have? You have.
But this one, this other one, is possibly creating a dangerous situation where the one we have is safe and can be turned over to our friend. But this other one might... Oh, I glance back at Roger. The Eye of Lamash too. Perhaps if we could work together on getting that back, then your good faith will have been proven to us.
That you are repatriating these things rather than just other criminals trying to, again, take control of these very desirable stolen goods, as you say.
We have operatives who are working on the Eye right now.
Really? I
hope they're not allergic to cats.
They are aware of the Eye and its supposed properties.
Not supposed. Not supposed.
No. Very real. Very real.
Well, are you saying you've seen the Eye?
Yes.
Where do you have it as well with your
no,
other?
We do not have it, but we will work with you to get it back.
And will you then give us the other items you have if we work with you on this? You have two other items, do you not?
I will have to confer with the whole party, but on my part... I think so.
He will look very intently at Mr. Kelly, who's probably still wondering how he got involved in all this, but nevertheless, and Mr. Nichols.
I honestly could care less about these damn relics.
So we have a deal. We will help you get back the Eye, and you will give us the other two relics.
I have to have the support of my group, but I feel like this, I cannot speak for all of us, and they are not all here. Can you speak for all of your compatriots?
Yes. Yes.
I think a certain level of trust needs to be established.
Indeed. All right. I hold out my hand.
Okay. He reaches out, shakes your hand. When should we make a visit? Mrs. Lewis's house, correct?
Yes, she has the Eye. Mr. Church has died.
All right. We have two operatives in the area, Ghassan and Nisrin Ahmed. They are both doing surveillance on her house. We can meet with them. They can give us an update on what's been going on, and we can do what we need to do.
But I would like to give the items to the person we've been working with.
That's not a problem at all. If you want, you can give it to the barrister. I know you trust your Englishman more than us.
The barrister?
Yes. Remember, your meeting yesterday was with a lawyer.
Yes. No.
That might not be the right term, but it's a term he has.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Well, let's... Croydon?
Yes. When would you like to meet there? We can go now. We can go this evening. What is your pleasure?
I look at Mr. Kelly and Mr. Nichols. Shall we go now?
So actually, let me just take a moment here out of game, talking as players to the keeper. Are you guys uncomfortable with making this decision without?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I am uncomfortable with that. That's why I was trying to hedge.
I'm just a hard help. Yeah, you're missing the person who actually has the two items in her possession.
No, they're in the bank.
Yeah, I know, but it's Agatha who's been sort of
right
holding on to them. Correct. So I appreciate that not having that player here sort of makes this all sort of. So I'm happy to retcon a bit and say they'll say, well, I'll tell you what, let's meet here tomorrow, and we can once you've had a chance to talk with your companions, we can decide how to move forward.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. No, I was really getting into it, and then I was like, oh, wait, this is probably uncomfortable, so let's retcon a bit here.
No, I know. When Sean puts his crook hat on, he gets into it.
I do. I really like them so much more than you. I mean...
now we're hearing what Sean thinks about it.
I've never heard how I thought about it. It's been very clear.
It's perfectly reasonable to me.
I know.
All right, so let's retcon. They say, well, you must speak to your others. That's fine. We will meet you here tomorrow, and you'll have an answer for us at that time.
Indeed.
They crisply nod their heads, and said handshake never happened. Changed the notes accordingly, and is there more you want to do here at the museum?
I want to burn it down. I'm putting on my arsonist hat.
we have about 2 weeks to figure out how to do that, I guess.
Yeah, stone doesn't burn so well.
I mean, it did say they needed to reinforce the floor, so a well-placed explosive or two.
All comes tumbling down. I must say the one thing that kind of took me aback is that one of their compatriots had a French name, did he not?
Yep.
I mean, I will say that this stuff was all locked away for centuries, and before we got mucked up into it, that doesn't mean that this group wasn't also looking for it for centuries for nefarious things, but I trust Mr. Udine just a little bit more, I think. Should we go to this party tonight?
Probably, yeah.
Oh... Where are you, Agatha? I'm going to find you and slap you.
What's your pleasure?
Well, that seems like it comes next, unless there's something else we can do this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So the party. You make your way over to his home. He gave you the address. He is in a very nice townhouse in a very fashionable part of town, central London. You had a sense that Raymond Price had some money behind him when you went to his house just to hang around. His house looks just slovenly compared to this house. It just looks nice on the outside. It's quite the place. I assume you go up and ring the door. By the way, did you guys dress up for this, or how did you?
Oh yes.
I mean, I don't think it would have been black tie, but I would have dressed nicely. You know, waistcoat and
okay.
Pocket watch.
Roger, are you going to this, or?
Well, I would have preferred not to.
Let's see. Free food, Roger.
Let's see. Free food. Mr. Kelly has decided to take the night off. I should.
Poor Mr. Kelly. It has been a bit much for him.
I mean, we are quite a bit of a headache.
He's getting paid pretty well, I imagine. I assume that's more or less why he's still part of this.
Who has been paying him?
Agatha.
Figures. She's such
Agatha a hired him.
Yes.
Inside, there's the furnishings are opulent. There's crystal chandeliers. There's polished statues. You just feel like you're stepping out of the streets of London into almost another world. There's well-dressed men here who are in, you know, black tie, drinking champagne and smoking cigars. Beautiful women dressed up, having conversations with each other and, occasionally sipping on some sort of liqueur of one sort. There's a small army of servants who are running from person to person to make sure that that no one's glass is ever dry and not a crumb falls onto the floor. And as you look around, you see that your host is there. He is accompanied by Mafalda, the beautiful woman who you met at the auction. Nearby, close enough to take action, but not close enough to hear, is a large brute of a man, the sort that... Mr. Nichols, you would recognize as a sort that you would bring if you wanted muscle to be with you. They're having different conversations. And as you look around, you also realize that Archibald Judge is there. I think it was... Who had the conversation with him? Was it... Nichols?
No, I thought it was Mr. Helmsworth.
Oh, could be. Yep. And you are brought trays that have little foodstuffs on them and trays that have drinks on them.
Oh, Roger, try the little pink canapes. They're very good.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to do?
Peruses books and knickknacks.
Yeah. So he has quite a lot of books and knickknacks. The statuaries around are all they're clearly, you know, of a sort of exotic nature more than anything else. They are the books are cover a range of topics, including international law, theosophy, travel guides to different places. It's a fairly wide range of topics covered, and all of these books seem to be kept in prime condition.
I always find it in poor taste to display books you don't read.
And at some point, Elgato sees you and wanders over. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for coming. I trust you've gotten what you need for drinks and whatnot.
Lovely. It's lovely. Good, thank good, you. Good, thank good. You for inviting us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Why do we come back to my office? We can have a conversation there.
Oh, yes.
He leads you back into an office. It's again beautifully furnished. The bookshelves here are lined with leather-bound books. The windows have these lovely black velvet drapes. As you sort of walk in, Mrs. Throckmorton, and you realize that, like, these ornaments are a little bit stranger than the ones out there. The ones outside were interesting conversation pieces. These are a different brand of interesting. They're more almost off-putting in a way. In the sense of they're definitely, you know, not meant for polite company, if you will.
I see. This is where you keep the real goods.
Oh, this is where I do my studies. Now, there's a room. The room is lit, but there is a single black candle on the desk as well. He says, please sit down. Can I offer you some brandy, cigars? By the way, I assume you all have gone with him. Roger, did you go with them as well?
Right as well.
Okay. Roger, the reluctant investigator.
Kicking and screaming. Or eating and...
Yeah. Well, I...
I was all over that cat thing.
You were.
You were. Then you almost died. And he says, well, you've now seen my house here. You can see the people I associate with. Obviously, I'm a man of discerning tastes, and I think that your group could be quite an addition to my circle, if you will. I'm hoping that I can convince you all that you would like to be part of what we have going on here. And, yes.
That is quite the group. Do tell us about the goings-on here.
Yes, well, we are a group that are dedicated to finding more about the left hand path, cult approach to things. We've massed many of the important volumes about the esoteric lore. It's given us a wide range of understanding of how the world really works beneath the surface, and you could be part of that.
I look at Roger and Mr. Nichols.
Mr. Kelly is left out of the conversation. I am quite
done of being part of a good deal of things.
Oh. Well, you look like you've had a rough time of it. Have the items from the tomb affected you, Mr. Stidler?
One could say that.
I would be happy to work with you to depower those things, to remove the curse, to stop the many ill occurrences from happening.
I'm quite
sure those artifacts are responsible for a great deal of death, either directly or indirectly.
Have you been able to deactivate any other articles?
I have some items from the museum in my possession. I'd prefer not to go to great lengths about it, but I certainly have looked at some of these and discovered that they were filled with strange energies. Yes. I think I can say I've been successful in this.
What did you do with the strange energies? I mean, energy cannot be created or destroyed, right?
It can be dissipated under the right circumstances. Based on what I understand, our good friend Mr. Price was doing. He was attempting to do just that.
Ah, yes. And we know how that ended.
Exactly so. I can tell you I wish he had consulted with me. I feel like I would have been able to assist him, but alas, he went at it alone.
Alas. Well, I don't think I could commit to any agreement without full party support. I'm going to fall back on that sword.
No, but you think you're open to the idea.
Oh. Well, I think disarming these things is key. Don't you, Roger?
It is one potential solution, if such a thing could actually be done.
Well, I'm sure by now you have encountered the so-called Children of Tranquility. I'm aware that they are out seeking these objects, but they don't propose to stop the danger. They simply propose to secure it away again. It's not a long-term solution. I mean, the progress must move forward, and if you don't address an issue now, it will come back later.
As the current situation does indeed illustrate.
Exactly. Those things were put into a tomb and were intended to be there for, you know, all eternity, and yet here we are, facing the consequences.
If only some had left well enough alone.
Yes, Mr. Thompson should have known better.
Could we see any of these items that you have? Just, we've been dealing with this so much, it would be interesting.
He sort of smiles and says, so you're thinking of going along with this?
You certainly raise many well-thought-out points.
So let me ask, is this a fast talk or a persuade roll?
Ooh. Where's Kitty when we need her? I really am trying to persuade to see what he has with him, but I am also lying. So I will let you be the judge.
No. I'm happy to let you choose which side you're more on in this. Like, yeah, that's fine.
It's not going to matter. It really isn't. Okay, well. I will try to be persuasive.
Great.
And for 3 points of luck, I can be. Ho dog! I rolled a 13.
Okay. He will bring out a small trinket. It looks to be a jackal of some sort of creature like that. But as he sort of, you might not notice it. I mean, the room is lit, but with the candle, every now and then it's kind of creepy. You know it's solid. You know he's holding a solid object, but every now and then, with maybe it's just the lights or the way that they flicker, it does look like it kind of moves a little bit, almost breathes in his hands.
And
so this was found in there. It was a statue. Apparently, Naboo had hunting animals, and had jackals. It's my best guess is that this was a counter to the eye of a certain eye opal that was found that gives one some control over cats.
Cats and dogs living together, the horrors.
Indeed.
And that it still has this power, it seems, how is this dissipated, deactivated?
Oh, when I first got it, it was much, much more so. When we first had it under the certain lights, it moved. It's what you see now is just most of the energy has been dissipated. I'm continuing to work on it. My intent is to fully deanimate it. By the way, why don't you all give me sanity rolls with a D3 if you fail? How I actually succeed on that. Huzzah!
Yes, I also succeed.
Ninety-eight is not a success. And a D3, you say, huh? One.
There you go.
What? Hate to have seen it fully active.
Oh yes, one of my the person who brought this to me suffered some bites from it. So I've shown you yours. I've shown you mine. I assume you'll be showing you yours at some point in the near future. We have an agreement.
We have an agreement to discuss and to get back to you.
Well, let's just be clear about what I'm offering here. I will offer you 1,500 pounds, cash if you like, for the horn and for a place in my circle.
A very generous offer indeed. I'm sure I can say that we are all honored.
More so than you might think. One, you're quite right that the energies cannot be destroyed. They can be dissipated. But they still exist. My plan is to use this magic and infuse it into me and those in my circle, making us immortal.
There ascending.
I was talking to Edwin this week, and I said, I'm really sad you're not going to be at the session where I answer the question you seem passionate about, which is, why are they doing this?
ascending.
Somebody make sure it gets put into the notes, because he's like, well, as long as it's in the notes, that should be fine. Oh, no, not ascended. You'll continue to live as you are right now, but you will be immortal. We have no need to ascend. We have no need to place ourselves above humanity. That would be counter. What we want to do is work and be members of humanity and help just make, you know, watch for these things in the future. We will be guardians, immortal guardians, as Naboo was supposed to be, but we will be guardians against these other energies of this sort. You've already taken on that role. I mean, you've already been out fighting, trying to stop the curse where you've seen it. Well, what I'm telling you now is that I have the means of ensuring that you would be able to be in a position to do that for as long as you wanted to. Or not. You could just live your life in whatever way you saw fit. And I just need you to provide me with the horn.
I see.
And he sort of pauses and gives a sort of knowing smile, as well as any other artifacts you might have in your possession.
I chuckle. Well.
Why don't we agree then? Why don't we meet tomorrow at the club? You can give me your answer then?
Yes.
Excellent. And I feel like now that you've made arrangements to meet two groups tomorrow morning to potentially align with them and give them the artifacts, this would be a good place to stop for the night.